to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey.
You may be seated. Our speaker this morning does not really need an introduction, but I am proud to introduce to you my son, who is working with Compass Aviation Ministries. He's been with us now, I think this is the third time we've had him by Zoom, and we've always been blessed so much by his ministry and the updates on the work that he's doing. So for those of you who don't know my son, we welcome him now from North Carolina, from Shelby, North Carolina, John Watt.
The toolbox
All right. The awkward part of Zooming is I have no idea if I'm being seen or heard. If there's a way of somebody telling me that, I will be good to go. Otherwise, I'll just keep on going. Hey, there you go. Audience participation is very hard when you cannot see or hear. But thank you. I did hear a couple of claps right about what seemed like maybe the right time, so I'm going to go with it. So, thank you. Live from Shelby, North Carolina, as my dad said, this is awesome. I am glad to be here. This is a treat to be able to visit with you guys electronically, and I'm amazed at the technology that we can do this. I will be talking a little bit about technology today, or actually more the lack of it, and what that means. But for now, we are thankful for it, and I'd like to go ahead and pray. But before I do, just a disclosure here. I think I've said this before. I'm not a public speaker. This is something very challenging for me, so this will definitely be a God thing. I will also like to say that I am at an airport. So this is in our shop here in Shelby, and our Compass Aviation is headquartered. And I hear there's an airport around here, so airplanes make noise. I cannot predict or prevent. It'll just be what it is when it happens. I just hope a helicopter doesn't sit there and hover outside the door for 10 minutes. That would be really annoying and ill-timed. So we can just pray the Lord will keep everybody flying somewhere else on this beautiful day instead of here. But let's pray. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity to come before you. There are no boundaries with you. And technology matters not. So I'm gathering together with the brothers and sisters at Malvern to share what you have in my heart. And I thank you for that. So Lord, we look to you, and may your words be what come out and words of mine quickly forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Familiar verse, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's been on my mind a lot lately. It needs to come back a lot more, because it's easy to get caught up in the future things and not in the what is happening right now and what is God doing right now. He's already in the future. But let me start out with this. Have you ever been on a drive and been lost? I can't hear, but I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. I don't know. Well, there may be one exception, my dad. I don't know that he has ever been lost. There have been a few times while driving. There have been a few times that perhaps it seemed that way, but I think the response is, I'm not lost, I'm exploring. So I have done a fair bit of exploring myself, and it usually doesn't get me out of trouble. But anyhow, somehow I found my way back. There's been a game changer with that, GPS. This is the technology I was going to alluded to earlier. It has certainly contributed to a lack of situational awareness. But it is certainly harder to get lost. It can happen, but it's certainly harder. It's true in aviation as well. But I will say that GPS has very likely saved a lot of marriages, or at least conflict within those marriages. I am in aviation, so I want to share a story relating to this topic and some thoughts on that that the Lord has brought to the surface as a result of these thoughts. A long time ago, like all good stories, a long time ago in a country far, far away, if you're hearing Star Wars theme music playing in your head, you're welcome. I was riding along as a passenger in an MAF plane, going from one end of the country all the way to the other end of the country. The purpose of this was to visit a childhood friend that had since moved. He was with MAF, his parents, and they moved to another base, and I was going to visit. And it's a very, very, very long flight. Doesn't seem that big of a deal, but where he's going, and I don't know how to explain this, but I can't paint the picture really well, but imagine a absolute, complete, total sea of green. Like, just sounds so peaceful, blue skies and green fields. It's not fields, they're the tops of a jungle. Just looks like tightly packed broccoli, and there's no gaps anywhere. It's not a little one. It's 1.4 square million miles. 1.4 square million miles. Second largest rainforest in the world next to the Amazon. Navigating across that country is no simple thing, especially over that kind of travel with the jungle in the way. So here we are flying along looking for the first checkpoint, and it's critical. This is the part where you establish wind direction and correction and figure out your time so that you can now properly anticipate the next checkpoint. This particular route is pretty challenging. It's only allowed to be flown by a pilot that has been successfully completed a checkout on this particular route. And I should mention, on this particular flight, there were three airplanes. One airplane, which was the lead airplane, had barrels of avgas in it, airplane fuel. That was the tanker, so no passengers with him, and he was the one that knew the route. And the other two airplanes had the passengers, and we were traveling along. That allowed three airplanes full of things to get from A to B without having to rely on one person, one airplane that couldn't carry everything. And they all had to go that direction anyway. So it was very efficient. So we're flying along following the lead pilot who, is, you know, he knows the way. We get to that first airstrip, first checkpoint. Here we are. I remember being the pilot very focused in time and watching, but, that checkpoint was nowhere to be found. They did not find the checkpoint. He reached it. What he was looking for was nowhere to be seen. And so he made a decision. I later found out there was communication going on between all three pilots, of course, and talking. I just didn't have a headset. And they made a very safe, educated decision on which way to correct, assuming wind had caused a deviation. And so they corrected for it so that they would be able to reach, if their corrections calculations were correct, they would reach the second checkpoint at an appropriate time, and they would be able to fine-tune from there. So, flying along, I remember being, like I said, the pilot being very focused on his heading and time and taking careful notes from what the lead pilot was telling him over the radio, and became aware that the next checkpoint, which was a bend in a very hard-to-spot river, was not found either. They began discussing options as the reality of the fact that we were completely lost and that our dwindling supply of fuel was becoming a tremendous concern. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. There's some trouble going on there. Life has a way of throwing curveballs, doesn't it? Unexpected bills, tough conversations, legal issues, health issues, plans that unravel, all of those things. That's life, right? It's tempting to borrow from tomorrow's worries and pile them onto today. It's certainly a very human tendency. I know it is for me. But Jesus cuts through that noise with a simple truth. Today has enough trouble on its plate. He's not dismissing our struggles. He's not, you know, pretending it doesn't matter. He's just redirecting our focus. When we obsess over what is next, we miss what's now. God's presence, his provision, today. He's in the future. So think about it. You can't solve tomorrow's worries with today's energy. It is not possible. They're not even real. Those are just shadows in our mind. Jesus invites us to trust him for what's ahead and deal with what's in front of us. As I just said, it's not freedom. It's not denial. It's like manna in the desert. He gives us what we need daily. Give us this day our daily bread. So is there a worry that we're holding on to or carrying right now for tomorrow? I think we all have those. I certainly do. It's there. I do hear an airplane. I'll ignore it. So ask God for the strength for today. Give him tomorrow. He's already there. In aviation, just a couple of degrees can mean the difference between landing on a runway or crashing into a 1.4 million cubic mile jungle. And just like that, life, small choices, they shift and compound, and suddenly you're way off path or track or course, depending on what you're looking at. I'm going to teach you two basic piloting terms that we use all the time here. We teach and incorporate them into all of our training from primary to advanced. And the reason we teach them is because technology fails. Batteries run out, screen gets cracked, GPS overtemps, alternator fails, you lose your battery, you have no electricity, now you're flying along, engine runs just fine, but you don't have anything to tell you, anything useful in terms of navigation. So what do you do? The two terms are dead reckoning and pilotage. Dead reckoning is navigating by calculating your position based on speed, time, and direction from a known point. No landmarks, no GPS, just math and trust in your instruments. If you flew 100 knots for an hour on a 270-degree heading, you'd estimate that you'd be 100 miles nautical west. There you go. It's old school, but it works when you can't see the ground and when tech fails. The second is pilotage. It's simpler, in theory. Flying by visual reference to landmarks, rivers, mountains, roads, things like that. You spot a ridge or a village and you match it to your map. It's hands-on, relying on what you see out the window to confirm where you are. Now, there are nuances to all of those things that I'm not getting into. This is not a flight training lesson. There's a lot of ways that you can create big problems with this. And there's a lot more to that calculation too, but it is a very simple concept. For a missionary pilot, these skills are absolutely essential. You're over remote jungles or mountains, delivering supplies or people or medics, doctors, whatever it might be, translators, all of those things, where runways are short and radios are spotty. Dead reckoning keeps you on course when the fog swallows the terrain. Pilotage gets you to that airstrip when you recognize that bend in the river. It's about faith in our tools, faith in the Lord, and reading the signs. Both of those things can mean life or death for both you, the pilot, passengers with you, and the people waiting. In life, it's the same. Dead reckoning is trusting God, the direction he's given you, moving forward with what you know, even when the path is unclear. Pilotage is spotting his markers, the moments of clarity, the people or events that confirm you're not lost. Together, they keep us grounded when plans go sideways, teaching us to navigate by faith in him and awareness of his leading, not just the perfect conditions. I love it when everything works out, but that's so often not the case. This is vital. This matters whether you're landing on an airstrip somewhere in the middle of the world or walking through the perceived chaos of life. So, thinking back, are you off a few degrees? Ask the Lord to show. Ask him to guide you in any course corrections that need to be made for today. Changes for today will become tomorrow. So stick with trusting him fully with today. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I have various translations echoing in my mind, depending on which version I learned and was thinking and memorized. It comes around. I love it. So you're flying VFR, you're dead reckoning across the map. So VFR, visual flight reference, you're not looking, or flight rules, not looking at a lot of instrumentation, certainly no GPS. You're working your way across the map, no GPS, just a compass, a clock, and your best guess at wind speed. You've plotted the course, but that wind you didn't account for or misjudged has shoved you off track. It's time for that checkpoint, the bend in the river, the tower, whatever. It's just not there. Only trees as far as you can see. Seriousness kicks in fast. You're drifting. You're burning fuel, and every minute off course compounds the error. In dead reckoning, a small miscalculation of a few degrees can mean miles of trouble. If you don't correct soon, you're not just lost, you're flirting with a forced landing. It's not if, but when. I should probably tell the end of the story I started, otherwise, you won't know if I survived or not. I noticed we began climbing. I found out later they were discussing pretty significant options with each other. There were a lot of quiet prayers being lifted up as they were coming to terms with the reality that they were likely going to have to crash in the jungle. They decided to climb even higher to hopefully get a glimpse of anything safer than just solid jungle. Suddenly, we began a steep and rapid circling descent. 10 minutes later, we were on the ground, on a runway. As soon as the engines were shut down, all the pilots disappeared into the jungle bathroom. It turns out there was an old Catholic priest that had continued to maintain this little tiny airship in the middle of nowhere from way back in the Belgian Congo days, in hopes that one day it could be used again. The pilots gathered together with their maps, and they spread them out on the horizontal surface of the tail, and with them, he showed them where they were. We were way over 100 miles off course, not a mile or two, which, by the way, 2 miles off course in the jungle, you can't tell. You just don't know. We were 100 plus miles off course. We couldn't even make it to our destination because of how far off we were. So they took fuel and refueled from the flying tanker all the airplanes and left the empty barrels with the Catholic priest, who was very happy for his payment to have some empty barrels. Could use them for water, all kinds of things, once they were rinsed out, of course. It turned out to be a strange wind fluke that was impossible to find with the technology available then. There was no GPS that gave us winds aloft based on math. There was no telemetry anywhere to make a good assertion. It was one of those rough things. It is what it is. The pilots were very tight-lipped about it during the event. I didn't know hardly any of this. I knew something was wrong, but I did not know the severity of it until later. It's a gut punch because aviation does not mess around. Wind is not a suggestion, it's a force, and missing that checkpoint is not a minor oops. It's a signal you have to rethink everything and right now and be quick about it. Where's the wind? Think about that. What is one step? What's pushing us today in a direction or that we feel like we have to fight against that wind to stay on course? We're trying to crab into it to keep us from drifting. You know, what is that? So every choice we're making today, whether it's in the present, you know, we got to be in the present. We have to be in the present. Whatever we choice we make today in the present will invest or deduct from future you. That's just how it works. And the Lord is already in the future, so let's work with today and let tomorrow take care of itself. Sounds like a familiar verse we've been saying over and over. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Jesus' words in Matthew 6:34 hit like a co-pilot's nudge, Don't spiral into tomorrow's crash scenarios. Focus on this leg, check your heading, scan for anything familiar, trust the tools and promise he's already given you. Life is like that. But we plan. But winds shift, unexpected bills, legal issues, health scares, setbacks, suddenly we're off course. God is not asking us or me to fix this whole thing right now, mid-flight. We can't do it. We want to, especially, I'm a mechanic. I like to fix things. You know, we're putting this engine on an airplane that's in the other hangar. It's a lot of work. My son Aaron has done so far all of this. And it's as far as getting it ready for installation and be leading the install. A lot of little steps, a lot of things to be done right. He's not asking us to fix the whole project right now. And to really make things confusing at the same time, encouraging and confusing at the same time, he allows those broken and messed up, derailing life things for our good and for his purposes. Nothing is ever wasted. We can trust him with that. He's in the future. Still, he's saying, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient for today. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, in that thinking, you know, he's calling out to us. We need to call out to him. I am with you. He is with us. We're together in this. He's saying, I'm with you in today's drift. I have the bigger map. I know what's going on. He's got the whole thing end to beginning. Guys, there's a lot going on in all of that. There's a lot going on within Compass. There's a lot going on in each of our lives individually. A short message today, just what was on my thoughts. I wanted to give a little bit of time for questions if anybody had them. Our Compass update, if you will, is very much the same. We need people. We need help. We need his grace to continue. We need his provision to do it. The Lord has been blowing us away with all of those things in different ways. We have a new mechanic and pilot mechanic that has joined our organization. His name is Aaron Hammett. He has been a missionary in Bolivia for a number of years, he and his family. His wife's name, so he's Aaron, and I have an Aaron. His wife's name is Tara. That should be fun, two Aarons and two Taras. We have a Jacob, who's our lead flight instructor. His wife's name is Audrey. We have an Audrey. So there's a lot of double names. We have two Calebs that work here in the shop. So part of our vetting process is to make sure you have a name that we already have. So maybe that'll work best. I don't know. So we're praying for another John, I guess. We're praying for another Jacob, something like that. I don't know how that's going to go. But it is pretty cool to watch him provide. So Aaron is a pilot and mechanic and a flight instructor. So he's going to be dividing his time between working in the shop with us as well as doing flight instruction, which is huge. Jacob is on loan to us from MAF. He needs half of his time. Part of our agreement with MAF is he is an IT pilot specialist. So he teaches flight with us, but then 50% of his time is managing MAF's worldwide IT support, which is he's among one of four that are managing MAF's worldwide IT. It's a huge job. And we're just grateful that we have him. So he works half days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Thursday, he's full-time IT, completely 100% IT. That's MAF's International IT Day for all the little in-between things. They all fall on that day, the scheduled stuff. And then Friday, he's all-day Compass. So that's his schedule. Aaron Hammett, we're praying we'll overlap that a little bit and help him to carry some of the load that Jake cannot carry because of his schedule. We've got a number of people in the pipeline coming. We have a flight instructor looking to join that needs her mechanics license. We have another candidate that's needing a mechanics license, but all of the flight ratings. We have another applicant that's coming as a pilot IT. So he's already an IT specialist, but he's going to get all his flight ratings, do similar to what Jake Miller is doing with MAF. He's looking to go with Ethnos 360. Formerly New Tribes. So that's Justin. And we have Austin Vies, who's getting ready to start. We jokingly call it the zero to hero. This is a screwdriver. This is a hammer. to all of your ratings, all of your mechanics licenses, all of your experience, mechanic, everything, to where you're ready to work with any mission aviation agency anywhere in the world. We've done a number of those over the years. It's a long process, so he would be with us for probably about 5 years to do that. He's coming to visit next week, so you can be praying about that. His name is Austin, and his wife's name is Bethany. So there's a lot of stuff. We have a pilot coming in from Mexico next week, the end of the week, beginning of so March 31st. So I guess that's next week. It's coming up quick. He's coming up from Mexico. We've been asked to help him with some specialized training that he's unable to get with MAF. And so we are going to be doing that for a whole month with him. And then he'll be going back to Mexico. He's part of one of the MAF's affiliate programs, Asas de Socorro, that fly out of in Mexico. So the Lord is going to use the 206 that we have as a very specialized training aircraft. It's the reason for that is we're able to do that kind of training. And so it's really exciting. So Jacob will be doing that. It's going to be a very busy month with him for that. Quick little sidebar. I keep talking about MAF. Well, we have a guy on loan to us, so that's a lot of what happens there. But it's pretty cool. We were looking at every organization has some kind of a training process they go through before they can be on the field. So once you've passed your evaluation, and now you do your what's called pre-field training. JARS calls it pre-field orientation. Has a lot besides just flying, but that's a big chunk of it. MAF has something called, I don't remember MAF's term for it. Same idea though. They take you have all your experience, you've passed all the requirements, you've done their training. Now they're getting you ready for field placement, and that's where they assign what country you're going to be serving in. Their last class, which was a month ago, was their last graduating class. There's four candidate families that completed that. Three of the four families all did their final training here at Compass. So I was just like, whoa, that's startling. One of those families is going to the DR Congo, which is where I grew up. So that's pretty cool. His name is Caleb Lindsay, Caleb and his wife. And they just had a baby who is like 3 weeks old right now. So it's going to be a big transition for their family. A lot there. There's still a whole bunch of things happen. One of our family members here, Compass family, local, had a baby as well, Caleb and Hannah Warner, little 3-week-old. Titus is a very precious little boy, and it's been fun watching Caleb and Hannah adjust to life without sleep and how all that works when you're still trying to fly and work on airplanes. So we're keeping a close eye on Caleb. So he's doing fine. We are grateful. The testing is still going well. I'm still tremendous ministry opportunities. I'm actually going to be having a conversation today. Please write this down. Pray for his name is Mohammed Altir. I'll be talking with him today to follow up with him. We're still in the middle of Ramadan, coming up to the end of it. He does not know what he believes. He is very open. And this is not the first time I've had the chance to share the gospel with a Muslim during Ramadan, of all things. So I just, thank you, Lord. Please let the words come out, not be mine, because I will mess the whole thing up. But he's a young kid, 21 years old, just trying to figure out life. So testing is just how God connects people to me, for me to be able to somehow represent him through whatever means he chooses. So that's really a pretty cool thing there. So it's still going on. Oh, man, we're looking to expand into helicopters. That's a whole nother world. Lord is putting some things together there that are, I don't know yet how that'll work. So you heard it first here. I have no idea what that looks like, but there are pieces falling into place that may end up allowing us to do helicopter maintenance and possibly helicopter flight training. So that is the aviation can only go so far with a fixed wing. The road goes farther than an airstrip can be made, and helicopters, JARS' little tagline for that is covering the last mile. There is more. You can't get there. How do we get there? And there is currently nowhere in this country that missionary pilots can train for helicopter training outside of a commercial organization. And we want to change that. We want to be a missionary training place for vetted, applicable, however I'm trying to say it, carefully chosen, because we can't help everybody. But so that means all kinds of possible things going on. Where is the future of where we're going to be? Here at this hangar, there are a lot of things that are uncertain. We don't know that we're going to be able to stay in this hangar. We don't know where we're going to go. The Lord knows. That is, I jokingly call it, that's future John's problem. No, that is not future John's problem. John will be, if he doesn't call, if the Lord doesn't call me home, I'll be there. But the Lord is there, and that's the Lord's deal. He can carry it. We just want to be obedient with today. What choices and decisions do we make today so that when the Lord brings us into what's already planned ahead, we're walking in the good works he's already prepared in advance for us. So I thank you for your time. That's a lot of stuff I threw out there. If you have any questions, I'll do my best.
Hey, John, this is Dad. I want to make sure the folks here understand the situation in the Congo right now. Bill Kilgore is there from Compass. He's on loan to the DRC. Can you tell us what his plans are and what the situation is? I know they all evacuated, but I'm not sure where Bill is right now.
Yeah, so Bill and Jan are serving with, they've were offered a little bit longer period of time there. They were coming back in July. They are slated to return to Compass. They do want to come. We certainly need his help and would love to have him back again. So that is currently on the, in our human plan of doing that. Sorry, I'm fiddling with, this is Aaron's toolbox. I'm fiddling around with it. They are currently in the U.S. They're in Arizona. So Bill's mom died. When they left, they knew that she would likely pass away during this next term that they were there, during this year that they were gone. And she did. So they were planning an end of life, a celebration of life event. And it happens to be in March. So they've been back for a couple of weeks. I think he's going back, I want to say next week or maybe even this weekend. I didn't hear the confirmed date on that. Jan will be staying behind for another couple of weeks with her mom there in Arizona before she returns back to Congo to join him. So as of right now, they are returning to planning to return back to Bunia. When they left to come back to the U.S., 2 weeks ago, they were still in Kampala in Uganda, waiting for whatever the criteria is for them to decide to stay put or not. So short version, the team is partially evacuated. Some were waiting longer, even when things calmed down again, they were going to be able to plug in and stay effective with the MAF's Uganda base before going back to Bunia, and Bill and Jan are going to join back again in a couple of weeks.
Great. I'll pass the mic on to anyone else who has a question. Raise your hand if you have a question.
Hey, John. Ned Greenhound.
Hey.
Who's your facilities manager there? I'm sure there's a lot of grass to cut and a lot of weed whacking to do. And I'm just thinking about this because we kind of did a big facilities up thing yesterday here at the chapel, but I mean, your place is how many acres? Even is it a lot of grass, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of grass, but we actually rent or lease from the city of Shelby. The city of Shelby manages the airport. When we first started Compass 21 years ago, we're in our 21st year. That does not seem possible, but anyway, when we first started, we were doing all of those things. But after year three, we slowly switched into a role where we returned that part. It's a long and boring story. The Lord was in and through all of it. But the city now manages all the public side of everything. We just have two joined hangars that we do all of our work and training in. And then we have offices in the public building where we do our simulator and we do flight training and offices, all that kind of stuff there. So no, we don't have anything to do with that. It is thankfully being handled and managed by professionals in that world.
Does that include then, so are you leasing these hangars and the office space?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Great.
So we are limited into what we can do. This is a 50 plus year old hangar that I'm in right now. There is a single supply of heat. You can see the duct kind of over my head a little bit. This is a pretty small part of our shop. We have another part of our shop that's easily three times this size. That is where we do the majority of our work. But it is just tin roof, cinder block walls, and a concrete floor. It is brutal in the winter, and I'm So glad this winter is over. I am so glad this winter is over. I look forward to spring like nothing else, man. It is amazing. The heater in here will change the difference between outside and inside by 20 degrees. That's the most it can do. So not too bad when it's, you know, 40 out, it's 50 in here. But when it's in the teens and 20s, it's pretty cold in here, and that's not fun either. And it's nigh near impossible. And we just don't work next door when that happens. Thankfully we're in North Carolina, but it does get cold. I will say it's an old building. We're not allowed to do anything that costs more than $100 in terms of upkeep per our agreement. I mean, you can't change a ballast out hardly anymore. But so there's a lot of do and then ask for forgiveness. And then it works very well. But we are looking to do something much bigger. We hope to renovate all of this, because I don't know if long and boring story about a hangar is not going to happen the way we were originally told. And so now we're stuck with, what are we going to do? And if they will let us renovate these buildings that we're in now, we can, for a fraction of the cost, have a really, really, really well-insulated, heated, both sides, efficient situation, but for a fraction of the cost of building a hangar. And maybe that'll happen. So you can pray that'll work out. But yeah, in the meantime, we just roll with it, and it's all right. Oh, I started to say this, sorry. I paint kind of a bad picture, and it is not pleasant, but I will say, in 20 years, they've never raised our rent once. Go find that somewhere else. Not once. So we're still paying what we did when we first switched from the first 3 years. So year four and on, never changed. Not once.
Well, you must be a good tenant.
I like to think so. We try to leave things better than we found it, and we try to be careful as we go along. And I think everyone that's connected to what we do here from the public side, the city of Shelby side, sees that. But you do have to deal with the city politics, and I despise that part, but it is part of the way of life.
Sure. John, I don't remember the continuation of the story you had with the plane. You had two planes that were kind of going to be, one was going to be, you were going to buy outright, and it was a special model of some sort. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. Did that happen?
It did.
Okay.
It did. That is, if I didn't, and I could be confusing things with something else, but the plan for that one was to do specific mission aviation training, because there was no other airplane like that on the East Coast that could do that. And we are doing it and have been doing it. There are currently 11 missionaries serving overseas as we speak right now that finished their training in that airplane. So that's pretty cool. That's really exciting that the Lord, he has blessed that. There's a lot of work. It's coming down for inspection at the end of April. But there's a ton of flying happening next week. So we're praying next month, rather, all of April. So we're praying that it will work as it has been, just been working very well.
Yeah, if I remember, there was about a $60,000 gap between the purchase.
Met.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, praise God for that, right?
Amen. I mean, Amen.
But that was pretty much it. The other one was, I think, a basket case of some sort that you wound up buying that you had to put together. And is that also in progress, or is that?
It is. Even more of a basket case than we imagined. That is the proverbial thorn in our side. So it's currently one of those, seemed like a good idea at the time, was worth it, but we don't know what's going to happen right now. There's a lot.
Yeah, well, some projects are not what they start out to be, right?
Oh, surprise, surprise, as we keep on peeling it. Oh, my God. Goodness, there's 10,000. That's 20. We gotta stop. We need to work on some other things. Well, it's a good experience. It's a great experience, and it's not going away. Thankfully, everything's in a position where it can be picked up later. We are restructuring a number of how we're doing things. We're reorganizing our customer because we have customers. We work hard, and we contract with the city. People don't understand. We are the public interface here at this airport for providing flight instruction and maintenance to this airport. And that is the quote unquote storefront that allows us to operate the ministry without being completely, we desperately need support from everyone, anyone. I'm not trying to say we don't need support. I've been misquoted on this before. It is a way, though, that the ministry is not financially carrying all of the financial burden and dependent upon donor dollars just to keep the doors open. We work hard and we work on customer. That's an airplane behind us is a customer's aircraft. And when we're done, he gets a bill. And that is what allows us to keep going without a burden on the ministry financially for whatever part that is. But we're not a production shop. We are very slow. We are training. We have reasons of why we do things the way we do things. And the customers end up with a great product for probably less than they would get other places, even though we are getting much, it's still expensive, but it's, they couldn't get the quality that we're getting for that price. And they are, it has been such a godsend. So we're working through all of that. And the Lord has been so gracious in every little, even goofy things like that.
John, I don't think we have any more questions here, so why don't you just close in prayer, and we will be keeping these things in prayer throughout the day. We appreciate your monthly updates that Tara sends out so faithfully, and all the pictures, so we put them on our Facebook account here at the chapel, so a lot of people
awesome. Can
see that, as well as whenever there's anything special, we try to make announcements about it, but you're very much in prayer, and this has been very helpful.
So thank you.
Thank you so thank much, you. John, and I'll let you close our meeting in prayer.
All right. Lord God, I thank you. As I said at the beginning, just words that are mine, may they be quickly forgotten. Things that you want us to be remembering and hold on to, please keep those in our minds. Lord, I just thank you for Malvern. I thank you for every brother and sister there that is part of Compass. You guys are every bit of that. And I thank you for what you're doing, Lord, through them. And I thank you for your sufficiency in spite of when the curveballs come, for the uncertainty of the future, for the things that just don't make sense. We can trust you with all of those things because you know the end from the beginning. You're already there. It's an already not yet. And so here we are walking through that. So as we move on, let us remember to be focused on the present, and not just to focus on the present to tune out things that we should be thinking about and paying attention to, but that we would not obsess over things that are not ours to carry. You are there. Reveal those areas in our lives where we are not yielded to you in this way. I thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. I trust you with all of it. Love you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.